Need your prayers this morning. Thankful, thankful to be here. I'm thankful that in God there is purpose. I believe the song said, there was no purpose for living, only existing. But I'm thankful that there's one who gives purpose. There's one who gives direction in our lives. Without that, I would be far from here. I thank the Lord for His mercy. Have a burden that the Lord has given me. Again, I covet your prayers. I'd like to begin in 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. I'd like to talk to us by the help of the Lord about approaching the altar. 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. I'd like to begin with the 25th verse. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Whenever I consider the great God of heaven, it says, declare His glory among the heaven, His marvelous works among all nations. He it is that is to be feared above all gods, for He it is that made heaven and earth. He it is, the Scripture says, that spanned the heavens with a span and meted out the waters. The dust He comprehended in a measure. The very God that we serve, whenever I consider, I think, as the song says, who am I that the Son of Man should die for? Who am I that He should come? I feel so unworthy. And think, Lord, what could I possibly give of my feeble self that would be acceptable unto You? But it says here, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. The Lord's desiring something from every one of us this morning. Looking for our lives to be given unto Him as a sacrifice. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, we have the blessed privilege of approaching the Lord and coming before His presence. And it gives us here the method by which we are to do it. You know, it doesn't give us any leeway to do it in our own strength, to do it according to what pleases me. But it says that we're to do it on His terms, in the beauty of holiness. To do it in the beauty of His holiness, clothed in the robes of His righteousness. I'd like to think about the beauty of holiness for a moment. You know, I believe the enemy is endeavoring, and it's not just starting today, but I believe as hard as he's ever tried, he's endeavoring to attack the very foundations of what we believe. The very foundations of what's taught in the Word of God, holiness. You know, that's something that's estranged from even much of the church world today. Yes. To be able to live a holy life. The grace of God, though, has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly right in this present world. You know, that's holiness, and that's what the Lord is looking for from each one of us as we approach His throne, as we come before His presence, expecting, Lord, I want Your favor on my life. It says to do so in the beauty of holiness. I don't take lightly something the Lord says is beautiful. If the Lord says that it's beautiful, Lord, that's what I want to present. Think about Zion. Do we see Zion this morning? Do we see it in its beauty? Are we able to look upon the mountaintop and see Zion? High and lifted up, do you know it's still pure and shining? God created Zion to be the joy of the whole earth. Said the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. O Lord, may I be worthy. The Lord desired Zion. He created it and instituted it. He said, this is my rest forever. This is in the 132nd chapter of Psalms. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Out of Zion, another scripture says, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Because He's created it, not formed by man's hands, not formed by man's intellect or working, but according to God and His infinite wisdom, who created, who founded it, laid the foundation which no man can destroy. The church of God is still resilient, shining in the original beauty that it was when Christ set it up in this earth. And I thank the Lord for that. Great is the Lord, Psalms 48, and greatly to be praised. The city of our God and the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. You know, this thing is beautiful for situation, and it is to be the joy of the whole earth. The Lord Himself has pleasure in Zion. Has pleasure because it's not of my creation. It's not of my doing or any man's hands, but it's His creation. Formed and set up, established and forever settled in the heavens, forever settled down throughout time, and it's that which He's pleased with. Was impressed with something that was said earlier in the meeting. The Lord told Moses, take off your shoes. Because the place that you're standing on is holy grounds. Brother Marty brought out the shoes were formed by man. The shoes were created of substance that man had, created according to the wisdom of man. And when it came down to approaching the presence of God, He said, put it aside. I'm not impressed with the workings of your hands. And you know it's the same in our lives. It's the same in Zion, the church of God. The Lord is not impressed with the workings of our hands. He's not impressed with our ideas, but He is impressed. If I may use that word, He's pleased whenever we come before Him stripped of all of that, stripped of our own righteousness and our own beauty, our own intellect, our own way of running things, if you will, and say, Lord, I want to approach You in the beauty of Your holiness. Approaching Him, not in my own righteousness, being ignorant of God's righteousness, but that I could approach Him in His terms. Give unto the Lord the glory that is surely due unto His name. By my life, being acceptable unto Him. The Scripture says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know that's how we give glory unto the Lord. Can we add unto His glory? Can we give Him more glory and majesty than what He already has? I think in my feeble efforts I can't. But whenever I, by my life, come before Him and approach Him in holiness, that's something that He's pleased with. I think of Revelation. It comes to mind, I believe it's speaking of four beasts, and as I understand it, it's representative of the church of God. And it said, as they were there before the throne, they cried, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. You know, I don't believe that is just speaking about a chant. I don't believe that's just speaking about them repeating repetitions of words. But I believe it represents the life of holy saints of God, living before Him and before His throne in such a way that it ascends before Him as holy. Everything I do as holy. Everything I wear as holy. Everything I watch as holy. Everything I do, whatsoever you do, do all unto the glory of God. You know that's what the Lord's looking for. The Lord still wants to be magnified in this earth. Can He through me? God's glory is not diminished any. Lord, help me not to obscure it with my flesh and carnality by me getting in the way in any way, but that my life would be before Him holy, holy, holy. O Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I'd like to turn now to the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 20th chapter. This is the instance of the commandments being given unto the children of Israel. We know them well. And after the Lord gave the commandments, He manifested His presence, did He not? You remember the many times that the Lord would speak unto Moses or unto the children of Israel? And if you think about it, wouldn't that be an awesome thing to behold? The thunderings, the lightnings, the cloud, the ground that trembles and shakes. Do you know that? I believe I'd be on my knees before Him. And it says here that the people, in the 18th verse, the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. There was a fear of God upon the hearts of the people to realize the one with whom they were dealing, to realize the seriousness of the wrath of God, the seriousness of the very holiness of God that they were dealing with. And it caused there to be a fear upon their hearts. I believe that the fear of God is wanting today. Believe in so many ways across this land, and folks, it can affect us as well. The fear of God may not be there in the way that it should as I approach the Lord. As I come before Him to worship Him, as I come expecting my life to be accepted before Him. In public worship, yes. That I not come before Him half-heartedly, that I not come before Him casually, but that I come realizing I'm coming before the presence of Almighty God. To realize that this is something serious, that I, so to speak, take off my shoes because I'm in holy ground. All right, let's move on. The people stood afar off, the 21st verse. Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen, and all the places where I will record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. The Lord prescribed here the altar that they were to use, representative of their very worship unto Him. Told them the way that they were to erect it, and the material that they were to use. You know, I'm sure that if He had asked us to get together a committee and decide the best way to worship God, decide the best kind of altar that we could build, you know, I don't think any of us would say maybe that earth is worthy, but that the finest material should be used, that we should use the finest substances, the most beautiful architecture and form that we can. But the Lord Himself told what He wanted, and He said, I want an altar of earth. And that's what I want you to approach me with, to approach this altar of earth. I don't want your input. I don't want the workings of your hands to be upon it. But I want it to be that which my hand formed. And I want it to be not of gold and silver. It says, If thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps upon mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. If you make it of stone, keep your hands off of it. You know, that's still the same with us today. The altar that we approach is not an altar of earth. It's not an altar that we come and offer the sacrifice on in a literal sense. But the altar of our life that I approach the Lord God Almighty and say, Lord, here is my life that I'm offering before you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the ways and the fashions of this world, to the intellect and the reasoning of man's ideas. Be not conformed to that, but provide that which is acceptable unto God. And God said here, what is acceptable unto me is an earthen altar. It's one that you've not put your hands upon. Now he instructed them that you're not to go up by steps into mine altar. The purpose being, I don't want your nakedness to be shown. The Lord's not interested in any of the flesh being on display. As we come before the Lord to worship Him, He's not interested in our flesh, not interested in our fleshly opinions and ideas, but He's interested in us being clothed, our nakedness being covered, our shame being covered by the robes of His righteousness, by that being which covers my nakedness. That I would not have the audacity, but would, to approach the altar thinking, Lord, this is what I'm bringing you. This is the form that I'm going to offer it, and you're to accept it. We can't tell the Lord, and I know we know this, what to do. The Lord is a jealous and an austere God. He's told what He accepts and what He's pleased with, and that's a sacrifice that's fully given over to Him. Instructed us to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. The Lord was very careful to warn the people, as you go through the land, and as you deal with the inhabitants of the land, don't make any league. Don't allow yourself to become involved with them. Don't allow them to become part of you, because in so doing, they'll defile you. They'll bring in their gods. They'll bring in their influences. And you'll find yourself going astray. You'll find your children going after the gods of the inhabitants of the land. The Lord is a jealous God. Just as He was then, so He is today. And He's not willing for us to come before His altar, dragging with us anything of the inhabitants of this land. And that's part of the beauty of holiness. That I come before Him unmixed, unpolluted with the things of this world. You know, just a small league with the inhabitants of the land, willing to say, I'll let you exist. I'll let you stay where you are if you'll allow me to contain you and control you where you're at. The Lord didn't tolerate it. Nothing of this world, nothing of man's hands is to approach the altar, that it be that which glorifies God in the fullest. Lord, help us not to think that I can take on things of the world in any form. Not to think, no matter how small it may seem, that somehow it'll go undiscovered. To somehow think that I can take on the influences and the things of this world. To think that just a few innocent videos out of Hollywood won't influence me. Lord, help us. Not to think that whenever I begin taking on the influences of the world, the Scripture says, can a man take fire unto his bosom and not be burned? I'll submit that to you this morning for consideration. The influences of this world, the media, the things that are promoted by this world. Can we truly believe that we can take on coals and not be burned? Fire into our bosom and not be affected by it? The Lord is still looking for a holy people. He's still looking for a people that live before Him acceptably. And that is untouched, unpolluted by the world around us. In this present world, there is a way for us to live a holy life. There is a way, and I would this morning, that we'd realize holiness is not just some banner that we put over the door of the Church of God. and say we're a holiness people, it's not just an idea. It's not just some abstract thing that ideally we should be able to follow, but reality says otherwise. Folks, holiness, by the grace of God, should be a living reality to each one of us. We should be able to realize that each day of our life, that I can walk through this present world untouched, unpolluted, uncorrupted by anything of this world, though the influences around us abound. And Lord, give us wisdom to know how to keep ourselves pure in this present world, to know how to keep ourselves undefiled. Because anything of this world the Lord's not willing to accept. Thou shalt worship no other god, he said. Make no other gods before me. We need to have a deep reverence for the things of God. Realize that the one that we're dealing with, just as the children of Israel here, they trembled. They trembled before the presence of God. May we realize this morning that this is not something to play with. This is not something for me to think I can fashion after my own ideas and thinking, but that I would approach the Lord in fear and trembling and reverence. Because, Lord, I want my sacrifice to be found acceptable. As I come before the Lord, I don't want it to be rejected. You know, I don't believe this altar that was set up, I don't believe the Lord intended for it to be something that at the end of the day, if you have time, or at the end of your labors, if you have time to stop by the altar and throw a sacrifice on there real quick, that's not what He was looking for, nor is it in our lives. To be half-hearted service unto the Lord, but that I would give of my all unto Him in complete devotion and reverence unto Him. Think in the 6th chapter of Revelation. I'd like to pick up just a few verses here. Revelation 6, the 15th verse. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. I don't know, I see this in my mind and the way the Lord has brought it to me. In that great day, whenever the Lord returns, there will be those, and may it not be me, that cry for the rocks and the mountains. In my mind, that is the things that I've erected, that I hold as a security unto me. The refuge of lies that I've built up around myself to say, the Lord will accept this sacrifice. The Lord will accept this altar. Whenever it's not glorifying Him in the beauty of holiness, the excuses and refuge of lies will be that which in that day I call upon, saying, cover me, cover my nakedness. But the only thing that will do it is the robes of His righteousness, clothed in that and hidden behind it, no flesh on display in any way. The Lord will not fill an unholy temple. The Scripture says in Isaiah 1 in the 22nd verse, thy silver is become dross, and thy wine mixed with water. You know, the enemy would like to mix the wine of our lives, the purity of our lives before the Lord, to mix it. This is talking about diluting. Diluting the purity of the substance. The enemy, by introducing things into our lives, into our worship. And I want to say here that this is the worship of our lives privately, and it also affects our public worship services. That the worship that I bring not be diluted in any way, that the enemy not be able to come in and introduce something foreign, that he's not able to come in, and by doing that, it compromises the purity of what the Lord is coming to accept. A pure and a holy church, righteous and godly, serving Him in the beauty of holiness. For me to be able to say this altar's ugly, there's nothing attractive about it, maybe we should put our hands to it. Maybe we should alter the services. Maybe we need to have a contemporary service and a traditional. Maybe by doing that, we'll be able to make it a little more attractive. Lord, help us to keep our hands off the altar. Lord, help us to realize that the God that we serve is not interested, nor is He impressed by the works of men's hands. But what He is accepting is a holy life presented before Him. You know, we could have the most skilled band, orchestra, organ player playing, and if, I don't believe that's what the Lord's interested in anyway, but even in our singing, you know, if it's not backed by a holy life, that's as just an empty sound. The Lord said in one place, I will not smell in your solemn assemblies, and in your feast days I take no pleasure. Lord, help us to live our lives and to realize if I want the glory of the Lord on my life, if I want to be able to come before Him and I want some power, I want His approval on my life, that I'm going to have to do it in such a way that's pleasing and acceptable unto Him on His terms. That you come before the Lord and worship Him in the beauty of holiness. The holy life presented unto the Lord, all flesh and carnality given over to Him, and clothed in the robes of His righteousness, then that's that which the Lord can accept and bless. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Thy wine is mixed with water. Saints, I believe the enemy has been successful in making some inroads in people's lives. And I want to be very clear here. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of God. The gates of hell shall never prevail, shall never destroy the foundation. The gates, we already heard in this meeting, walk about Zion. Mark you well her bulwarks that weren't erected by men's hands. Mark you well the bulwarks that were established by God Himself, founded on the rock eternal that'll never move, never be shaken. But Lord, help you and I. I was talking to someone that recently used to be saved, and they were asking about things that they were seeing. Folks, things that a backslider was seeing creep in, and saying, I don't know what's happening. That I don't know if there will be a church of God to come back to when I'm ready. And I had to stop and think, Lord, have mercy. And quickly corrected this individual, said, no, there will always be a church of God. Whether I'm part of it or whether you're part of it, Zion will always shine forth in her beauty. But Lord, help you and I to live acceptably before Him. Because folks, the Lord will not compromise His requirements. Will not compromise and say, well, because you presented such a beautiful altar, you know, that's impressive. I'm going to make an allowance for a little bit of paganism, a little bit of the world about you. The Lord will not do it. But He said, speaking of His people, that I will give men for thee, because and for the purity and the holiness of His people. If I'm not willing to say, Lord, I measure up to Your standard, I measure up to what You say is acceptable, worshiping You in the beauty of holiness, I may not be part of that number. But Lord, help us to see the beauty. Lord, help us to see the beauty of Zion and to want more than anything to be part of that number. The Lord says, I want to dwell there. I want My presence to be there, because that's to be the joy of the whole earth. 2 Chronicles 7. The first verse says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Do you want that to be the case in your life? The glory of the Lord to so fill the house that I can't stand. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Folks, we're going to need something for this day and age that we're living in. We're going to need the very power of God to enable us to live a pure and a holy life, to enable us to live acceptably before Him. And you know, that's the promise and the consolation that we have. If we come before Him and present our bodies holy, unmixed, unpolluted by anything of this world around me, and say, Lord, here it is. You know, I have the consolation that the Lord will do the same and is wanting to do the same that He did right here. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the glory of the Lord filled that man's house in such a way that there was no question. Those that looked on had to fear and tremble. That's what I want to be manifested in my life. That's the power that I must be able to have in this world that we live in today. There is a continual attendance unto this sacrifice. We can't just come and drop off the sacrifice, and that's the end of it. I remember, I'm sure you do as well, 15th chapter of Genesis, Abraham was offering a sacrifice, and it said that he stood over it. And as the fowls of the air began to come, attempting to devour the sacrifice, he drove them away. He stood there until the ending of the day, and drove the fowls away that the sacrifice would not be polluted. Lord, help us with all diligent attention to give unto the sacrifice of my life. Because, oh, how the fowls are circling. How the birds of the air are waiting to devour the sacrifice. Waiting to profane it and pollute it. Lord, help us to give diligent attendance to make sure that doesn't happen. Until, just as Abram did at the closing of the day, until I draw my final breath. And the Lord, in that final judgment, accepts the sacrifice of my life. What a day that will be. I'd like to close there. Scripture talks about a highway of holiness. And a way shall be there. A highway of holiness. You know, no matter how deep the mire of sin and corruption and impurity in the world around us, no matter how creative the enemy gets with the methods and the vehicles that he can use to convey it to you and I through the modern technologies, whatever may come, there is still a highway of holiness. There's still a way elevated and lifted above. The message has never changed. There is a way. There's a way to live in this present world, pure and holy, undefiled, that I don't have to come before the Lord with guilt, with condemnation, knowing that there's something hidden in my life, knowing that there's something that I've allowed myself to be influenced. The mindset and the thinking of the world has begun to influence me, but that I could come before Him in pure conscience, living before Him continually as that sacrifice, approaching the altar knowing that it will be accepted by His grace, by His promises, that I can know that when I do that, the power that I so long for. You want more power, more victory? You want more of the blessing of God in your life, in your congregation? You know where it starts? It starts right here with this man. God's blessings will be on Zion. But Lord, help you and I as part of Zion. If I come to service and I'm harboring something in my life, the Lord's not going to bless an unholy temple. If you do the same, and we all come together and we're harboring and allowing some of the influences of the world, you think that's going to affect our Wednesday night prayer service? You think it's going to affect the anointing of the Lord on our services? Do you think whenever we want to go and reach this lost and dying world, it's going to affect the anointing of the Holy Spirit being on our endeavors? Lord, help you and I. Folks, this isn't an opportunity to criticize God's church. It's an opportunity for me to examine this man and to consider my ways. Lord, are my ways acceptable and pleasing before you? When I think back of the martyrs of old, in the early morning time of the church, you know, folks, what? That was a time when the church wasn't diminished. It wasn't just reduced to some little handful of people trying to hold on, but it flourished. You know, I have to believe that it wasn't because those martyrs stood out there and said, "Hold on, we can talk about this. Maybe I can partake of some of your ways. Maybe we can allow some of your altars and feast days into our lives and into our worship." But because they stood strong, because they had the power of God upon their lives, the Lord's not looking in any way for us to compromise His holiness, for us to come before Him saying, "Lord, we've got to allow some of the things of the world, some of the things and practices of sectism. Lord, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. That's what everyone else is doing, and people aren't interested in anything less." Folks, that's not the case. Lord, help us to hold true and hold fast to His holiness, realizing that when I do that, that's the power I need. I'm not interested in my own power, my own ability to go out and speak a man's wisdom in a way that draws men, but I'm interested in it being Christ. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. It's the gospel. It's the beauty and the holiness, the pure, unadulterated message of the gospel that's going to reach this world, this lost and dying world. It's not me taking and dissecting it and saying, "You need this part. This part isn't relevant to you anymore. You need only this." But it's me taking it in the purity and the holiness, unadulterated, and giving it to this lost and dying world. First of all, doing it in my own life, living in a way that I know my life is clear and acceptable before God, because God's blessings will only fall upon a house that's given unto Him, that's clean and purified. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give Him that, approach the altar in that way, and then the Lord's glory can fall. And then His power can fill that house. And then you're available for service. Lost and dying world. Folks, may we never fall into the lie of the enemy that this gospel needs to be changed, that it needs in any form, fashion, or manner to be altered by us or me to lay my hands on it, but to realize that it is true, forever settled, that it's still alive and working in its purity and its holiness. I want it to work in my life, and I want it to work in yours. I want the blessings of the Lord to be on this house, and I believe it is. Lord, I want it in a greater measure. I desire your prayers.